That's what I hence began to say to us, our Father, in the name of Jesus,
I
found everything what?
Our eyes view Jesus this evening, even as he sees us himself, as concerning walking in the Spirit, walking in our own, we receive admonition, correction, and clarity comes to our heart for us to walk daily. We walk in it, we live by it every day. Amen. Glory to God. So let's look at a few things from where we stopped on Saturday on New Mexico.
Thinking
that
we'll be able to
now speak in about 2 to 3 more sections. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Matthew 28 from verses 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, that's what power, has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He says, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Amen. In Mark 16, from verse 15, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned.
Remember, this instruction was given to his disciples. At this point, they were born again.
So he gave them this instruction. Hallelujah. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. Hallelujah.
In Luke 24, Calls repentance and remission of sins.
Hallelujah. So we said
this is the primary assignment of the believer. This is the primary purpose of the believer. Amen.
The believer has no other purpose.
Hallelujah.
Hope you hear me. God has committed this to our trust.
So this is God's number one primary assignment. So every other thing, like I said, every other decision you want to make in life, this should influence it.
Yeah. God's word should influence it. Ministry should influence it. Even as regards to where you're going to settle in life, where you're going to settle, must be influenced by God's word.
Hallelujah.
The believer is not like the man who is trying to find balance around the world, who is trying to look for what is good so that he or she can inhabit. No. In fact, I know of ministers that are friends with me that left their state of origin. They left, let me not even call their state of residence. Some of them abandoned their homes because of this cause. Some of them abandoned their jobs. Some to locations where they've never been to because of God's call. They chose not to leave. It's not that they don't like luxury. I know of a friend, a minister, who left luxury, and where he stays, he doesn't even use a roof. The roof is not aluminium. It's not aluminium. He's staying in a hut.
Some people are watching DSTV. I don't think there's ever a time you can even get DSTV network there.
In a remote village. His children are going to attend the school in that village. For the sake of the gospel. So, your every decision in life is tied. Listen, Or put it this way, the gospel ministry must influence it, or must be a major in making decisions in life. Hallelujah. For the sake of God's word. Because I've done that in the city. But I've done that where they have pumping machines to pump water for him. He had to dig a well. He had to well water. He had to cross. If he's going for ministration, he goes on the bus. You think he doesn't want to ride a good car? He's driving. What do you call that? In Okada. He doesn't want to drive a Volkswagen Passat. Or want to drive Bentley. He doesn't want to drive RX30. They have what, 330? He loves to drive it. Don't drive RAV5, RAV10. He wants to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. No, it can't be the God's truth. What? Come on. Let's make money first. Where? No, let's do the work first. Let's serve the Lord first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's work for God first. Let me put in my commitment to God first. Come here, everybody. In fact, that would be walking in the Spirit. Okay, what is this?
Okay, that's why. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's do it first. They know that we need to make money. Some will not deceive the other. You know, the gospel needs to be moved forward with money. No, that's the deceit. It's the gospel work. Hallelujah. I remember one time Jesus was telling his disciples. I'm saying as though I was there, but Scripture made me there. They were sending his disciples, and he told them, well, after, okay, not the bigger class, not this class, but your leader. Now, I'm not looking at what I said to them, but there's something more. See, he told them not to go with force, not to go with money, not to go with extra clothes. Why was he telling them? I said not to even greet anyone, to make you know that that is not primary. The primary thing there is the work. Okay, Jeremy, this is the work first. Amen. Amen. So if ministry, you must be ready to say that. This ministry came to the interior part of the world. I'm ready to go. You must open your mind that way. When you walk on the ministry, it's going to meet. I know someone who was working, him and the wife were any, not comfortable. You know, there's a difference between any comfortable and you are any good. Right? But the Lord asked them to leave that place and go to a remote village. They quit their jobs. They were going to a remote village where they don't even have an open child missionary. And they left. Glory to God. They left it for mission work. A non-minister could give his own example of how he left where he was and went to Abuja. Him and the wife had to quit their jobs. Hallelujah. That is Dr. Paul Emeche. He will say they quit their jobs. And when ministry takes you to, Lord, I'm ready to go. Every of my decisions in life will have to align. I want to be a newscaster first. Then I will now really know it's the gospel first. Hope you are hearing me. I want to be what? To be an accountant first. No. That is wrong order. When I told you God had to give you, God had to, after light, then the light, then there was order. Right? Right? And the order will start light from darkness. You have to set your priorities right. It's the ministry that is light. Hope you are following me. So we are looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul said, now concerning spiritual gift burden, I would not have you ignorant. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I will not have you ignorant. Now we said that Paul was dealing with what?
carnality.
Carnality is not their state of being, but their conduct. Hope you hear me. Carnality there was their conduct.
Was dealing with their conduct of carnality
when they are gathered together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And it changes things when it says, now concerning spiritual,
meaning we're going to focus on this spiritual.
That's what concerning peri. Concerning this is the topic, this is the focus. So he's saying the focus of the gathering shouldn't be food, shouldn't be strife. Do you get me?
Shouldn't be divisions, shouldn't be working in the flesh, but what spiritual.
You say, I would not have you ignorant, willful ignorance there. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. So when you use the word spiritual, you say it deals with things that are from, of, and by the Spirit.
Things from, things of, and things by the Spirit.
Glory to God. It says, I will not have you ignorant. So that means, when we are gathered, come on, when we are gathered, something, I mean, I put it this way, when we are gathered, what should form our focus, or what should come to our mind the most, is the essence of our gathering,
or the essence of our identity, what is common to us. We have all have a common identity.
Hallelujah. What is our common identity? Which is the Spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit. So, that said,
we mustn't lose sight of the Spirit amongst us when we are gathered. Don't lose sight of it. The Spirit amongst us. We say there's a Spirit with us, in us rather, the Spirit in us, right? The Spirit upon us and the Spirit with us. The same word with us. Hallelujah. But He lives in us, He is upon us.
Hallelujah.
Utterance, right? Demonstration, right? And He is with us. Hallelujah. I would say the Spirit with us
brings to bear the sense of reverence for the gathering.
For the gathering, the essence of reverence
for the gathering. And for one another. One another. The essence, reverence for the gathering and for one another. And then it brings also to bear the sense of the miraculous.
We saw that. And I said, remember I told you, I'm going to say this the rest of the essence of the miraculous.
Because you saw in the
Israelites, in the wilderness, they had that sense of the miraculous.
That God is with them.
Hallelujah. So they had they saw the miracles, signs and wonders, always.
Hallelujah. And that is the kind of mindset we should have as believers. We can always have miracles. Hallelujah. Believe God for miracles. Hallelujah. You can always believe God for miracles. Never shut your mind to the miraculous. Hallelujah. Also, we said it brings to bear that attitude of caution. Caution.
So that's good. You don't throw caution to the wind when you gather.
You know, some people are like that. Some people just naturally. They don't just care. I've met people like that. They don't just care. I know someone like that who doesn't just care. He'll just say the way it is in our mind. I don't know. You don't do that with a believer. Hallelujah. God is with us. Hallelujah. Amen. And you will have also going to appear that God is leading us as a people, as a family. God is leading us as a family.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So on Saturday, we began looking at the gathering, right?
The gathering. What do we have in the gathering? What do we have in the gathering?
So we said we have the when we're gathered together, we have a common identity. We are sons, right? We are sons based on responsibility. We are sons. We are
I don't go into songs in this teaching. We are already doing that on Sunday. So we are sons.
We also said that we are all saved.
Hallelujah.
We're family. We looked at all these in the introductory part of this teaching. We are sanctified. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. But in as much as this is who we are, where we are gathered, we're family. We are one.
There should be no segregation in our midst.
The brother can relate to the sister, and the sister can relate to the brother. Hallelujah. Let me also put it this way. There's no permanent seat. You know what I mean by permanent seat? Some people now have a seat in church.
Especially TV and they don't have a seat in church.
These days it's no longer hard. By default, pastor just looks this way and he sees Timmy. But Timmy,
he's in the record. Yes, sir. Generations to come will hear it.
Amen. Amen. Timmy just comes into church. Even if Usher is telling him, let's go this way. You just know, there's a permanent thing by the Holy Spirit. Even if somebody is sitting there. And the first thing he does, to make you know that I love that, the first thing he does is to check the window.
I just intend to switch the window or to switch the door.
I've been looking for the spiritual implication of not staying here where there's window. Amen. Amen. He just wants
hold on to amen.
Just that spot. No, it's wrong. There's no permanent. So tomorrow, next day, tomorrow, that's his day. Nambi, minister to the person. The Lord said, there is a place and a time, and they are still that is not permanent.
Come on, amen. Don't do that.
Amen. So I just said that because sometimes there's no reserves, there's no segregation. Amen. Okay, you hear me? Just so that you know, listen to me like that. So that you know that is. You know that can all form very subtle. That is pastor. This no, no, it's pastor. That is Timmy Street. Default though, it just happens default. So everybody that's going to sit, it just it's not better way that you don't sit here because that is Timmy Street. And people will not come now walk off straight.
Amen.
No, that's wrong. Amen. I'm gonna go. Stay with the brother. Hallelujah. Okay. But
in as much as there's no difference in our means, there is no celebration in our midst, right?
There's no rich and poor seats. There's no rich that and poor that seat. I feel that we don't have that. Yet, we said God has actually placed order, control within the local church. Hallelujah. Remember we said we're family.
How do you feel when you just walk up to you're just born into a house because it is
some people were like that too when they began to grow up. Let's look at their dad and say, "Hey, daddy, come to dad." There's always that control in the family. Hallelujah. In the family, they're always you have the parents, right? And their role is that of order. It's just order. God puts it that way. Hallelujah. To nurture and to grow. So also in the local church we have order. And we say that order is God's setup, right? 1 Corinthians 12:28. It is, and God has set these in the church. God has set these in the church. I say firstly apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers. After that we have what? We have miracles, we have help, we have government, we have diversity of tongues. Hallelujah. So we said, when you use the word firstly there, secondly, and thirdly, it wasn't referring to hierarchy. I know that Lord has said, we might talk to have the fivefold ministry. I'm not dealing with that. We have that already done in series 2. Amen. We are not dealing with that. There are fivefold ministry now. So we have the senior apostle.
They will not have the prophet. The prophet refers to the apostle. No. Don't get into all those things.
Hallelujah. When you use the word firstly there, it's just like saying number one, number two, number three.
It has nothing to do with position. Amen. Just like saying number one, number two, number three.
Just like you're listening, it has nothing to do with position. Hallelujah. Amen. You're just listening.
also, you can also place that alongside with how they were revealed.
And why you would list it that way was based on how it was revealed. Hallelujah. But like I said to us earlier, that was not what we're looking at. But
he placed a divider on the word, when you use the word after that, that is the word in the Greek, epital. That is a divider. After that, epital.
Epital is used to show distinction. Now, when he lifted out the gifts of the Spirit from verse 8,
he didn't mention prophet, apostles, teachers. Did you see that there?
No.
Hallelujah. But when he placed in the word epital there, say God has set up in the local church, he mentions the leadership.
Now, epital is to show a distinction. Now, what do you not have in the other device?
You now have miracles. Is that a gift?
Yes.
Now, two things I will find literally in the ninth gift of the Spirit, which is health and government.
And I told us I wasn't going to teach it. I'm not going to dwell on that in this series, but in maybe subsequent series as we'll have time to do that.
But it brings in health and government. Hallelujah. Health and government.
Well, we're going to see that later on. And it brings in again diversities of gifts. Put it this way, what he had mentioned will be found in all the bodies. Hallelujah. So what is he saying?
He's saying, though we have the local church, but yet God has set amongst us the leadership. And the leadership is that divine. And it's for honor. Okay, follow me. It's for honor.
In Ephesians chapter 4,
4 verses 11, he says, all staff of us,
he gave gifts to men, and he gave some.
I mean, he gave gifts to men. Now, he gave gifts to men, and he gave some to the apostles, say some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. He says, for the perfecting of the saints.
Watch that. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. For the perfecting of the saints. So that means there is the leadership.
And their role is towards the saints. Who are following you?
Their role is towards the saints. So this sister let us know that in the local church will have leaders. In Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13 verse 7, you were told to remember them. Hebrews 13 says, remember them who have the rule over you. Did you see that?
Who have the what? The rule over you. They have men who have responsibilities over you.
He said, you remember them. Now, I will use the word.
The word for remember them has to do with also to have them in mind. To mark them. Hallelujah. So, you are told to mark those who have the rule over you.
Amen.
Mark those who have the rule over you.
So, that means part of our rights and privileges in Christ is to know, is to
have those who have the rule over you. Follow your rights and privileges in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.
One of your rights in Christ is that you have the rule over me. I have a rule over me in the local church. I'm under people. Hallelujah. I'm under your leadership. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, when you use the word perfecting of the saints, first of all, we said on Saturday
that their role includes, which we went into in detail, it includes to teach us, right? To rebuke us, to reprove us, and to instruct us.
We saw that. To rebuke, to correct,
to instruct us, to teach us.
Hallelujah. And we said, and to reprove us. I was saying the rebuke.
Oh, it's something we're going to look at. Maybe next week. The rebuke sometimes will have to do with a shock.
Don't we think rebuke is always going to be nice?
No. And then watch it. When you are rebuked and you are angry, you are not different from Judas.
Because Judas was rebuked and he got angry.
And the Bible says Satan got into him. Okay, so the rebuke is for your good.
And then I said to us, be wary when you don't get rebuked. Since your all your life as a believer, you've never been rebuked. No, you'll be rebuked. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Sometimes I said, sometimes it can be harsh. Then I mean I can might be loud. Amen. What is more?
That's all. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. But rebuke is part of it. Hallelujah. So back to Ephesians chapter 4, when it says, chapter verse 11, say for the perfecting. When you use the word perfecting there, charismos. We say charismos is not, does not only deal with teaching alone. Hallelujah. Does not only deal with teaching.
It's teaching alone. See, the role of a leader is not just to teach. Ordinarily.
The role of a leader in a local church is not just to teach.
Not just
teaching is included in the role of your pastor, of your servant. Is included, but that is not all of it.
Pastoring does not only deal with teaching. Ordinarily,
you know, have several people who have good oratories that will just want to download the message and then come and download it into them and then download it to you. Amen. But
the role of the pastor is not teaching alone.
But teaching will be included. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you also find in their role to lead you.
They have a responsibility to lead you, to nurture you. Is that to nurture you, to grow you, to nurture you.
Hope you're following me now. Hallelujah. We say, well, they have a responsibility to nurture you also, to grow you. Amen. Amen. So that means the nurturing, the growing, the reproof, the instruction in righteousness, they are all part of God's setup. God set it up. Look at what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4 verse 1, verse 2. It says, preach the word in the instant in season and out of season. It says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Say, for a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, heap up for themselves teachers having itchy ears.
So, what is he
going to
do? He's going to preach the word in instant in season and out of season. He's going to say, he's going to rebuke.
So that means that he's teaching and he's preaching, he's going to carry the rebuke.
Hallelujah. He's going to carry the fruit.
Hallelujah. And then he will have the character of long suffering.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Someone said, you have a pastor. I was discussing with the senior minister. That was some months back. The senior minister was saying, you know what, sir?
I envy people like you. I said, what? He said, yeah. You go in ministry for this class, it's not my God. He just took us and cares. And just bump us into congregation.
Then he doesn't think he will be able to start ministry from scratch. I told him, sir, that is long suffering. Then gave me an example of his friend. Whom when he knew him, when he was getting got into ministry, it started with minimum of 2,500 members. Already cooked one. So this guy was going ministry. When he goes to see him, they were using a shop. They were just before. There was a day he went there very early. And the guy told him to go and wait around church. And he wants to go and bring his members. He said, you go and bring them to come to church. He said, he comes to church and they are all seated down.
He said, after a while, a few years, he moved out of the state to another state. He came visiting back to Lagos. He said, let me go and see his friend. That was after like some years, close to 5 to 8 years. He went back to see his friend, and that church had grown. Well, out of 1,000, but this a little above 50. In 5 years.
Amen. But now he's back to Lagos.
And he said that guy's church, now from that time to now, is about 20 years. The guy's church is over 2,000.
So yeah, that's long suffering, man.
Say, man, I envy you guys.
Glory to God. It's not about envy, it's long suffering. The pastor should have it. Paul also did. You know, I'll have that discussion with the pastor. Hallelujah. Long suffering. Amen.
I know that sometimes, even I'll tell you that.
Ah! Why are you doing this? Sometimes there are some people we have told, this is what you're going to do, you're going to stop this attitude.
And they come to them and they say,
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's continue. So, the duty of the apostles. In Matthew 18, Jesus tells us a very important role of the pastor. Oh yeah. Matthew 18 verse 17. Look what Jesus says. He said, and if they neglect to tell them, a brother is having a dispute with another brother. He said, if you neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. Now, the word church there is used for, when you use the word church, it's not like you've now come to, it's the word synagogue used for the assembly of Jews. Now, you don't just come and stand in front of the synagogue and say, and you not come up until when it's testimony time. Now, they say, amen. And church, oh, I thought you report this sister Dorcas. And you have answered, oh, doctor, everyone's not giving advice, no. When you say, get into the church, it means to the leadership. So that means the role of the leadership is to judge. Where would Jesus be reading from? We'll write this on Saturday. We'll be reading from Exodus, from the Exodus, right? Did we say that? When Jethro, that's what Exodus is in, when Jethro will tell Moses, to appoint leaders, right? Leaders, let them judge matters. But why would they judge? Oh, first of all, learn from who? Moses. Hope you're hearing this. Then they will judge matters. Then the weightier matters will bring to you. So the part of your role is to judge matters. Part of the role of the leaders, Father. I'm talking as if I'm having leadership convention. Is to judge, Father. So that means you judge matters. Sometimes matters over pregnancy. Deal with it professionally. The pastor can only give you advice on that part. The pastor has a core responsibility, which is what? The word of God and the brethren. Hope you're hearing me. Amen. Amen. Okay. So, since they watch over your soul, which is the leader, since the leader watch over your soul, that implies that you must see them. You must see that their function is more than your earthly father and mother. The role of your pastors. They watch over your soul. Now, God didn't commit your soul to your father's function. He committed it to your pastors. And that is why when a believer begins to bear children, get born, when you get married, and begin to, because this day we have bear children, a lot of people, it means a lot of things to a lot of people. When a believer gets married and begins to bear children, now, it doesn't matter they are your child, they must also grow them so that they become your disciples. Hope you hear me. Amen? You become their for pastors, your children, you become their pastors. Beyond your father. Beyond their father. Amen? Beyond their mother, you become their disciple, young leader. Hope you're following me. Amen. At that point, you now have, you now watch over their souls. Don't be like the African Uber. Who is a son? If your son has a spiritual father, he goes, that's my father. That's my father. You know, some parents get jealous. And you suck my breast. How can I say, I gave it to you for my lord. How can you come over there? What does it do when you give me your food? Amen. Amen. But the responsibility of your livelihood is on your pastors. Amen. And this comes to bear. See, I have something here. They guide you. Your pastors guide you. So taking decisions in life sometimes, and many other times, you must subject it to their leading, especially decisions that deal with ministry. What God have it, what God wants you to do. Most times I believe that you should, if I don't know that I believe, I strongly agree that you should share with your pastor. It's not a gift for the home. When it has to do with the leading of the Spirit, you don't share it with parents at all. Most times, some of them, I know not all of them, some of them are your disciples. The rest of them are your disciples. Glory to God. Amen. So you share with, first of all, your pastor. He's a writer. Amen. Share major decisions. Even, that's why in the church we actually have principles that guide relationships. We have ministers in charge. The minister in charge of relationships. So tell it to your minister, tell it to the pastor. We have to deal with someone in church who went into a relationship and the pastor wasn't aware. Why? See. Any card you want to play? Always good. There's no new card in this world. Amen. It's only me to be in your brain. But people have played this card. Amen. It's just like you are buying card for the first day and then you have seen Joker. Say, wow, this is Joker. Let me shock you. People have seen Joker even when they were children. Amen. I played what? So say my middle name don't watch now. Amen. So they can't tell me you have seen Joker. No. Amen. So this person was going into a relationship and he suddenly sees that. Has become that. Okay. I don't know what to say that. The way she knew what her pastor was going to say. She didn't tell the pastor. On purpose. Just whoo. Because pastor will say, for now, hold. Right? So sometimes you just have to say, who is the pastor? Your pastor will say, for now, hold. And the pastor will just, maybe the first time, if I tell your pastor, it looked as if he didn't hear, but he heard it. Why a pastor would not jump into quick conclusion of one time and just follow the leading of God's Spirit? That's more because of the secret. No, because the person knows, preempted what the pastor would say, which she might be wrong. Did not tell her pastor. I went into a relationship. I went to tell the parents. And why did the person go to tell the parents? Because he knows the parents will agree. But parents will agree. Who is it? What is the person's spiritual life like? That's why he's doing God's work. What is God's work? You see, when you ask a believer a question, and that question, they know that question they are going to fail it. Sir, like a sister I told, what are you doing in the relationship with the Muslim? That throws me off. First of all, relationship. Do you think we are doing what here first? Relationship. How? Muslim. You don't need to just ask them. Why are you hearing the name? Why are you hearing the name? Shuku how? Mary how? But a believer, don't talk in Holy Ghost. Sister, we hear Abdullah. He said, lie. Why do that? He said, pastor, you say we should go into what you want. Hey, sister was telling me, he said, is he not part of the world? Are we not going to save him too? We are. Our pastor. He said, you are segregating. God said you're going to the world. What team in the relationship I got in, I get him born again? I said, you never. He said, no, sir. What God cannot do does not exist. You didn't use that word. What God cannot do does not exist. Oh, yeah. She went. When they got to know, she ran away. Nonsense. Amen. Glory to God. So such decisions, when there is an order in church, you follow. The moment you are unable to tell, disclose your relationship status to your pastor, it means you're doing something bad. It means it's not from God. I tell you that. Why do I know? About what light is in the light. Well, light to light. You are doing something bad. Who is there? Who is there? Amen. So your leading, or the your leading of the Spirit, should be subjected to them, to your pastors.
Listen, sir, can't I just know the leading on my own?
God has set it that way.
Hope you're hearing me.
Some of us can't leave our house, father's house, without letting our father know where we are going to. How much more do you go to church? You are planning japa. You didn't tell your pastor.
Where is God leading? Japa.
Ah!
On this. Pastor, I've gotten this answer. I just want to know if it's God's will for me to go.
You have gotten this answer. You have even paid for a flight.
And the pastor, I want to know if God wants me to go. It's not only God.
you have thrown God away.
So Pastor will not say don't go. You answer, ah, the pastor, I don't block my destiny.
My Lord,
I come and be quick. Oh, but some people will not have to switch coaching and say, Pastor, when I get there, I'll do the work for the ministry. The work you have not done yet. When you get there, you go and do it. Continue.
Amen. Glory to God. Oh, is that your friend doing work on ministry? Your disciple in the body of Christ.
One man was discipling the whole Saint Pavilion Church.
Including me, became his disciple without knowing.
He gave his pastor a Pabu that we are his disciples.
And I was somebody's disciple that you don't know. I was somebody's disciple. Imagine that. Brother!
The next two is tough. Brother, that's it. Is it ministry? Ministry call.
You are going.
Not the only ministry. You say that. When we get there, we will change the constitution. Which constitution?
So, from the start, you must let your pastor. Look at Paul.
See, Paul had a leading. I told us on Sunday, on Saturday. I said Paul had a leading in Acts of Apostles chapter 9 to go and preach, right? You know what? God led him. It was a vision. He saw God. In fact, that vision was all turned around his life and his entire career, or his entire ministry. He turned around his life. He changed his purpose. He was Paul the killer. Was Paul that persecuted the church. But that encounter changed him. But you know what? Paul didn't go anywhere. For a space of about 17 years, Paul didn't go anywhere. He didn't go shimbang anywhere. How about Paul? He disobeyed God, no? Until Acts of Apostles chapter 13. He had to wait for the leadership of the local church to send him out. Hope you're hearing me. He had to wait because that is how God leads his children. The leadership. Hope you're hearing me. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Acts 8. They had to send Philip to Samaria. Amen. They had to send Philip to Samaria. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 8 verse 5. Philip had to go to Samaria. And when they heard somebody has received the word from the mouth of Philip, in verse 14, they sent Peter and John. Do you see that? Who are you with me? So that is how we are led. That is how we are led. We are led via the local church, via the leadership of the local church. God didn't leave you on your own to lead yourself. No. So watch it as a believer. When you no longer get comfortable with accountability. Accountability to the local church is working in the Spirit. The first point we find men not accountable, look at those numbers. Men that didn't want to be accountable again to Moses. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14 quickly. They don't want to be accountable, verse 2. And the children murmured. Children murmured against Moses and against Aaron. That's what non-accountability will cause, murmuring. In verse 4, they say, let's choose ourselves a captain. Let's go back to Egypt. Against the leadership of Moses. Let's go back to Egypt. Rebellion. So watch it.
When you get uncomfortable, when you don't get uncomfortable
with accountability, watch it. You're not walking in the spirit. You're not walking in the spirit.
You're walking carnally.
See, the carnal man does not want to be accountable to anybody. Anybody. That is why they can form alliance today to bring down this next person. The moment this person is brought down, they can form alliance with another person to bring down one of their own. Because the world does not want to be accountable to anybody. Nobody in the world wants to be accountable to another man. So when you find accountability, it is working in the spirit. Let's be accountable.
They say, let's make ourselves a captain. Let's get back to Egypt. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So that implies that how I treat the leadership of the local church,
even in accountability, is working in the spirit. I was meant to be accountable. See, even if sin, why not ask the question one time? He said, what if my church doesn't demand for accountability? You must get accountable. Okay, you should just be accountable. Even if they don't demand for it, you should be accountable. This is working in the spirit.
Work in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't hold any special meeting without informing Pastor Shegu first. In fact, months before, our church calendar, I send it to him. To him.
No, I can do my own thing. No.
No. The moment you begin to get irritated with accountability, irritated, or then
working in the spirit. I've been working in the flesh. You shouldn't be
irritated. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. Hallelujah. Hold on. So that attitude of trying to overthrow or
taking steps outside how the local church is being led
is not working in the spirit at all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Guess my time is quite gone. Just look at one or two other things. So that means the pastor, let me tell you this.
Look at Moses. Robert is learned from that number 13 saga. They were 10. No one to send 5. You went to send
12 spies. And he chose one from each tribe. He just wanted equal rights. Let's just carry people from each tribe. Let's just represent one.
He just sent all of them back. But after that, Joshua was white. He saw it.
Moses sent 12. 10 came with bad reports. Rebellious reports. 2 were faithful. And those 2 have been the faithful people, Caleb and Joshua, with Moses before them. You don't see that?
Because, see, after that, afterwards, you discover that Moses stopped doing everybody again. But now using Joshua and Caleb. No, just one.
Okay, follow it. Just wisdom. Because as a pastor, your pastor will always work with faithfulness.
When you get to Joshua 2, because of time, Joshua 2,
Joshua was now about to send people to go and spy Jericho.
He didn't send for each tribe again, like, because he had 3. He sent 2 faithful men. Faithful! Faithful men! Hallelujah!
Everybody, faithful men! Your pastors will walk with faithful men. Hope you are following me. So Paul will pick that.
In 2 Timothy 2:2, he said, the things which you have learned from me amongst many brethren, he said, the same commit to who? Faithful men who will also be able to teach others also. Faithful men. So your pastors will work with faithful people.
So therefore, I should be faithful to my pastor. I should be faithful to my leader.
Hallelujah. Faithfulness. I must be faithful. Faithful. So you must be faithful to duties.
Faithful to tasks.
How? If I send you to go and minister or to go and do something, as you have ministry somewhere, and you go went there and you flop it, do you think I'm going to send you tomorrow? How am I going to send you? Hallelujah.
Not at all.
Faithful in character. Hallelujah. You must be faithful in commitment to the work of ministry. You must be faithful. Imagine, just so you were given a task to just clean the auditorium and you also clean before Sunday and you will be the last person to come to church. Do you think tomorrow they want to tell me to get send somebody for something somewhere and I should send someone who is committed that, or faithful that I'm going to send you? I'm not going to send you. Because you've not shown me faithfulness. Must be faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's the fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. It's a peace. Faithfulness. Is the fruit. So the believer must be faithful. Faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll round up with a few. Paul had faithful men. If you look at Romans 16 quickly, that is what I'm going to round up. Though I intended going beyond here, let's see. Romans 16. Romans 16. He had faithful men. Had faithful men, right? Look at verse 3, Romans 63. Say, good Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. You see that? Say, for who have for my life laid down their own necks. Do you see that? Look at verse 22. Verse 21. Timothy, my work fellow, and Lucius and Jackson and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. Do you see that? Now look at something else. He said, he told them in verse 7 to salute people. He called them fellow. He said, greet this, my beloved. Salute this one. You know, you see he mentioned a hall of fame of faithful men. Men who were helpful in work. Hallelujah. Men who were helpful. Your pastors, your leadership, the leadership of the local church needs faithful men. See, your pastors have faithful people, the work of the sinners. Unfaithful men make the work tedious. In 2 Timothy, he listed out unfaithful guys. While listing out faithful men, he mentioned some people who were unfaithful to him. Look at verses 9. He said, for Damas, 2 Timothy 4, 9. He said, for Damas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and hath departed unto Thessalonica. Did you see that? He says, Damas has loved this present world and has gone to Thessalonica. He loved it. Who is Damas? Who is Damas? Look at Colossians. Colossians. You need to see this. Colossians 4. We're looking at who is Damas. Verses 14. Colossians 4, 14. It says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Damas greet you. Meaning in Colossae, when Paul was writing to Colossae, that was the same time he wrote the book of Ephesians and Philippians. When he was writing to Colossae, look at what he did. Damas was with him. Damas was faithful. But the moment he was writing to Timothy, his second epistle, in Ephesus, Damas had forsaken him. That man was no longer faithful. So that means your faithfulness cannot be in the past. Your faithfulness to your pastor, to the work of ministry,
can never be in the past.
See, nobody, when in Timothy, when the writer of Timothy, he didn't say that man that used to be faithful. No. He said he has forsaken. Maybe there was a time he was with his co-workers. Did you see that? There was a time he was active in the work. That means,
if I'm not careful in being diligent in faithfulness, I will step down my faithfulness.
Amen.
How about this? I'm going to teach you on that faithfulness. Yeah, in the work of ministry. You must be faithful.
It's very vital. You must be faithful. You must be faithful. And it's not something you start and stop.
No.
It's something you stay with for the rest of your life. It's going to be, you see, faithfulness is going to be a routine. And routine gets boring. Most times some people don't know. Routine gets boring. But that is when your faithfulness is tested.
How do you hear me? Yes, it is tested. It becomes boring. Yes. Yes. Yes.
But that is when it's been tested. When you've not gotten to that point, your faithfulness is boring. Then you are still living again. It will be tested.
So the faithful to prayer. If not with that point where praying looks boring, then you not be tested. But you know you keep at it. That is then you are faithful. See, guys, I used to be faithful. I used to know it's gonna give you nothing.
You must stay faithful to for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. It's a call. Amen. He mentioned another person we're going to look at next week, Alexandra. We're going to investigate who Alexandra is in scriptures.
Alexandra was the one. Alexandra took his neck. He took the bullet for him. When he was in Ephesus. And that was like, Timothy can relate to Alexandra. But that Alexandra, he didn't take love. Alexandra began turning his back on Paul. He did not just turn his back on Paul. He began to counter what Paul was saying. Sometimes your faithfulness to your pastor, to men, is proven when you now know their weakness. Would you still remain faithful to them? Before you got close to your pastor, and you feel, you know, someone, that is her sister, seen me one time. She saw me laughing and she was surprised. She doesn't know that I used to laugh. See, today when I think of it, I used to laugh for the fact that she was surprised that I used to laugh. I don't believe that. Have I turned to Samethna like that? You know, people would think Samethna knows to laugh. But you just enter your house and you just pack your plate and put inside drum. You see, the man does not laugh. So I laugh. You saw me laughing, you know, with pastors. So she was like, she was just dazed. I was looking at her. I was like, what's wrong? It's the first time she see me laughing. You know, even me, I koja, a shock. A shock was shocking. But now, you now know that pastor laughs. If I, you now come closer. You now know pastor's house. You now come closer. You now pastor's, I can't use the word girlfriend because I'm a pastor. You now pastor's lovey. You now call it pastor day. La. I'm going to marry to pastor. Now know all of pastors on the way.
What's that? This is not the one that I know. No.
Most times, it's when you now know pastors' weakness that your faithfulness is not weakness.
You're not working in pastor's office. You now know how they used to bash pastor in the office. Now they are pastor. Now we're talking about they give us levels. They don't get levels.
The pastor used to have fear. What about the Holy Ghost with you? Where?
That is it.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I'm not one of these loners. I'm not looking at so. I'm not King Blue. Ah! In answer to the then I call the number. You are working in Rome, no recovery. Then also, Pastor.
Ah! Hey! Pastor!
You know, you have to Pastor! Pastor is here, okay?
You have to ah! Hey! Hey! How about
that? Hey! 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 You know, you have no weakness. You have enough to call.
Where you are calling, you know it's your pastor. I say, good afternoon, I'm calling you from Fair Money Microfinance Bank. You have to pay your money.
I said, somebody said something to me. He said, I was not going to borrow the money, come on. I have faithfulness to my loans.
Somebody actually, that was now they now use robots to do the call. I'm rounding up now. But then it's people that will call and say, he checked my profile online. It's cock and bull nonsense. And I say, if you can check my profile online, you will know that I'm a banker. This nonsense you are doing, you come and tell me which guarantor form I signed. By the time I sue your company, person called the law.
Because you check my profile. How can you check my profile? You're telling me nonsense. You know I'm a banker. You're telling me nonsense that you check my profile. You should know that I did not sign any contract. If you try me. They do that. Do one do that for you like UKT.
They say you guarantee a loan, you know, we'll put your picture, try it. The money I will make from your head, you will regret. So that's it, Pastor. You know, say, Pastor. The next day, you now come to church. Everything, you formally used to be around, good afternoon, sir.
The Pastor does not know you're doing that, sir. Good afternoon, sir. No, you now say that, Pastor, good afternoon, sir. Stop to. Pastor, call you, come for meeting. By 2 o'clock, you are coming by 2:35. Your faithfulness is not being tried. Hallelujah.
Learn something this evening?
Learn something? Let's go back here. Let's go back here.
Faithful. I remain faithful. Always. To my local church. To my pastor. To the ministry of the word. To the leading of the spirit. Amen. Just pray with us.